If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode, 307. It's October 18th, 2021. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Boop Show. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Dunaway with a mask on. What's that you got there? What is that?
Oh, is this a mask? I thought this was my face.
Oh. Pumpkin head, we'll call you.
Pumpkin head. Face. Old school pumpkin face.
It's pretty creepy, actually.
Yeah, I like these. I got that, and I got the cat we did last week. He's back there.
Do you think that thing's effective at blocking COVID, or will you give yourself something worse because you're just breathing into that nasty plastic?
This is already full of COVID.
Is it? It's COVID full?
this is the source of all COVID right here.
Oh, okay. This is the beginning. Oh, man. If we only had known it was your damn mask. Oh, that sucks. So much time would have been saved. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're here. We got stuff to talk about. I got a thing in the mail today. Emails there. I don't get regular mail. Junkyard Simulator showed up on my thing. I got a little code.
Simulator.
Yeah. And I thought, is this going to be one of my chore core games where I get in there and, you know, fix cars and throw out engines and, you know, crunch up other cars that suck and whatever, just running a junkyard? Is that what this is? Sure enough, it is. But man, that thing's early access as hell. It's like nowhere near ready. So it was going to be my game next week, but I'll give it some time.
That's one of the toughest things I think that I've had to deal with over the last couple of years doing the Boop Show is some games early access means we're pretty much done.
Yeah.
And some early access means we have a proof of concept.
Yep. There's no standard is the problem. Nobody adheres to the same standard. And so, you know, when you get Hades in early access, Hades. It is a pretty polished, almost complete rad game.
Right.
And you know, you're not going to get something that's super janky and buggy. It's going to have its issues, but its issues are well down the road of, you know, we're way past alpha and even beta at that point. And then there's games like this, and a lot of them are like this. You just never know until you invest in them and find out, right?
Yeah.
So
there's such a push right now for these simulator games because they're pretty popular. You're not the only one playing them, Scott Johnson.
No, they're huge right now. It's not everyone thinks there's something wrong with me. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with a whole bunch of people. We're all effed up. I don't know what's happening there. But don't worry, it won't stop me. And today's game was simulation enough. Let's put it that way. Brian, don't feel guilty. People stopped playing Aliens Fireteam Elite, not because it's not a good game, but because other things got in the way and they weren't marketed very well. And now there's like 800 people playing that game, which is not really a lot. You should.
I was so excited about this game earlier this year when it was being touted about this great Aliens Fireteam Elite. I was so excited. And then I got sidetracked, and I didn't ever get to play it. And then I pull up Kotaku. And it's like, there's only like fewer than 800 people playing Aliens Fireteam Elite. And I'm like, no, man. Why did I fail?
I don't think it's not your fault. In light of things like Back for Blood, which is also on Game Pass.
But I haven't played it either. So, I mean, I can't excuse it and go, oh, it's because I'm playing Back for Blood, man. It's all right.
I did. I played it. It's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
It's sort of good. It's sort of awesome. But well, I just feel
it's Turtle Rock. So you're getting the same. It's the people that made Left 4 Dead. So that's what you're getting. That's what it is.
Right.
That's a new Left 4 Dead.
You know how phenomenally small 800 people is for a game like Aliens Fireteam Elite? I mean, like the just released.
It sold better than that. Like there are people with it on their hard drives in a big quantity because it was like number one seller for a while. It was on top of the Steam charts. I don't know what I don't know how we get that data to like look at exact sales, but reviews are, there's a bunch of reviews on there which tell you at least, you know, a really big chunk of people who have played it so they can review it or on have bought that game. I think other stuff just got in the way, and they, I don't know, because it seems competent, seems like a fine co-op shooter thing, seems fine.
Yeah. It, like I said, is it also makes me a little bit, it's something that I've noticed a lot of lately. Okay, so whenever we do the Boop Show show notes, just a little bit of behind the scenes, I generally like to go through Steam and other services and look to see which ones have the most reviews.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm getting to a place where I'm like, there's a pretty big indie game getting launched and I'm only seeing like 15, 20 reviews. And I'm like, is the market just that oversaturated or is it, what's going on?
Well, it depends on when you check it. If it's the day it releases, you can never count on that because, you know, you got to get
unless they've been in early access for a while, in which case they already have some reviews already lined up. But
I mean, I think you're right. There's something to be said for the saturation of the market. There's a ton of stuff every day. Part of the reason we do this show is so we can showcase some of this stuff because it'll get missed otherwise. And, you know, once in a while I'll find a game where I'm like, how come no one told me about this? It's existed for like 3 years. No one said a word. Yeah. I've never seen it surface anywhere. Never even heard of it. It's just that. It's that problem. Yeah. And it's a hell of a problem to have because it means, you know, choice is off the charts right now. It's just crazy.
Right.
So what I hope happens is Steam maybe will take the lead in this. I don't know. They have the biggest lead, so maybe they could. But stores like Steam, and I would include the Nintendo eShop and up-and-comers like the Epic Game Store and others who have a lot of little games mixed in with their big blockbusters that get all the notice, they just need to work on better tools to surface obscurity so that people don't get lost in that. A guy that's like a one-man thing and once in a while gets lucky with something like Stardew Valley and it explodes on them and it's just perfect timing and all that. For every one of those guys, there's like 10 equally brilliant little small teams that are putting out amazing content that no one hears about because it's just not the right time or it just got ignored or it came out a weekend where everything else was huge and in the in your face. Like it's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Yeah. It is a major bummer.
Yeah. They can fix it, though. I think they have the tools.
Yeah, they have the tools to fix it. They've already tried to, they're trying to fix it already, I believe, with the developers encouraging them to put demos out for their games. That seemed to be a hurdle for some people. And they also have been, you know, really pushing the developers towards releasing press releases and communicating with their community and saying, you got to wish list this.
Yeah.
If you wish list it, that really helps us. It's like reviews for podcasts. You know, it's what pushes us to the top.
It totally helps. Not only that, like put patch notes in with your updates.
Yes.
Like actually communicate with your base, talk in the forums, that kind of stuff. I know it's a lot
of
work.
Do a roadmap. Roadmaps are great.
Roadmaps are great. Yep. Chat room brought up Dwarf Game earlier. Deep Rock Galactic. That's a game that launched in early access. And those guys were Johnny on the constant with letting us know what was going on. Here's a patch. Here's what it does. Here's a tweak to our roadmap. This is what we're thinking. Here are the dates. Oop, changing date, but don't worry. It's actually earlier. You know, like they were on it. And it really filled you with a sense of like, well, not only am I getting to play this awesome game early, I actually feel like I'm making a difference here by doing this. Like that, if you can achieve that, whatever that is, then you're good. Now, I don't know if that means you've got to have the budget to hire a dedicated person or team to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But if you're Stardew Valley guy, it was just him. He didn't have anybody else.
Yeah.
So
the Valheim team did fantastic. They had a great roadmap. They've been pretty consistent with hitting their updates. And, you know, they're doing a good job.
Yeah. And the indie, I agree with, who said this? Tondragosa, the indie festival stuff Steam does. I think helps a lot too. Like right now there are roguelikes that I'm like, oh, hadn't heard of that. I'm going to have to pick that one up. Like I'm having a moment here where I'm going to spend too much money on a bunch of roguelikes.
It does help a lot because when I'm going through these for, you know, trying to pick that, we're going to talk about them just in a minute, the Boop news and what's coming up. One of the things I do to narrow that list down is I look for ones that have had more reviews if they've already been released. If not, I look for my friends have a large Steam friend base from just years of doing this with the final score and this. And so when I see like, you know, five or more people are wanting this game, then I'm like, okay, I need to take notice.
Yeah, same.
I need to take a notice.
I like to. I think they're the only ones really going for this. Like, as much as, you know, Steam's not perfect, it's got its issues, and there's some bloat, but it's still the only one where it feels like they're trying to build a platform that lets you have exposure to all this stuff as much as possible. And others just aren't doing that. I mean, the Nintendo eShop, for all as much as I love having indies on my Switch, that thing sucks.
It's terrible. And unless you drop your indie game down to like 50 cents and then it shows up right away on my little indie list. But if it's more than that, it's kind of gets buried.
Plus, it's just a sluggish nightmare. It's just like the worst back end bullshit code. It's just bad. So they need to fix that. I don't know that Nintendo cares. They may not care.
No.
You know, I don't
is
know.
Is that their motto? Does Nintendo care? Question mark.
Yeah. Do we care? No.
Boing.
The answer is no. Ba-ding, ba-ding. We don't care. Ba-ding. that's the money they're making, that ba-ding in the background.
That's right. That's right.
Ba-ding, 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 ba-ding. Just making coins all while they're talking to us. It's a real bummer because I love that device as a place to play those indie games. It's amazing. Yes. It's great. It's one of my favorite things in the world. But having to go to that store and dick around in there, gosh, like pulling teeth and eating them.
I usually just go to the website when I'm doing my research.
Yeah.
I rarely go to the store because the store is pointless. But if I go, I'll kind of look through their little thing on the website.
Let's see what's coming out now. Ooh, we got some stuff coming out now.
Now.
Yeah, these are out now. Here's a game. Lumion? Or is it Lumion?
I think it's Lumion. I think that's how you would say it, but you're right. Lumion would be how you would say it if you were a typewriter on Sesame Street.
Another way to surface your games, I believe, is to have...
put some Lumion on it?
Have some names that are less obscure and hard to do. That would help. From what I can tell, I've been looking at some video of this earlier, and I'm showing some now to the chat. This looks very much like, hey, remember Super Meat Boy? Why don't we take some of that and mush it up with what's the Microsoft one? Will-O-The-Wisp.
Well, Will-O-The-Wisp is what you're thinking of.
A little bit of that business going on. It seems cool. It looks really hard, though. So if you want to have
it looks exceedingly hard. Yeah. And it looks a lot like a game I played last year. And it was called it wasn't called Everclear because that's something else. But it was something with ever in it. And I was trying to remember. But it looks like a punishing platformer is how I'll describe it, even though they describe it as an ocean themed side scrolling platforming game.
Yeah. Which but I think is like, you know, underselling it.
Yeah.
Seems like it's pretty hard. But I like those kind of games, and it's $10.79 on sale, 10% off for its launch right now.
Do it.
And I assume that'll go for a few days. Releasing this week, we have Into the Pit, which is what I call going to my mother-in-law's for dinner. Into the Pit every damn time I go. This comes out on the 19th, so tomorrow? Yeah.
Comes out tomorrow, day one Xbox Game Pass. If you have that, going to be on Steam as well as I think it's going to be on the PS5 is what I was reading earlier.
Yeah, we got Xbox, PC Game Pass, PlayStation 5, not the older consoles though. So
I wasn't sure about that because that one was a little bit vague. Usually this information gets a lot clearer once it comes out. And that'll be tomorrow. This is published by Humble Games. So
yeah. You know. And this, your hands are weapons. You're basically it reminds me of Hexen or something.
That's a good comparison.
Similar vibe. Yeah. But apparently it's more like roguelike elements. You're going to die a lot and then redo shit. And that's okay because that's how those games go. Lots of cool boss fights. Oh, that hand shooting the bones. That's lame. Anyway, Into the Pit coming October 19th. I'll play
Why
this for
is that
sure.
lame? I actually
Not
like
lame.
That little
It's
effect.
Fine. It's totally fine. I shouldn't.
Right. Fast-paced, retro, first-person, roguelike. Come on. You put all the keywords that I like. You put it right in there at the front.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this. This may be the game that I play for next week.
Yeah, it might be a good pick. Fight with chaotic magic, shifting treacherous dungeons, grow your powers, choose your challenge.
Right.
All kinds of stuff going on.
Five of my friends want this game on Steam, and they say it's similar to Quake 2. I will be the judge of that.
Oh, that's interesting. Quake 2 rather than Quake 1. After that, we've got They Always Run coming out on the 20th. So that'll be on Wednesday. It's a strange day. It's a weird day. Right. Become Aiden, a three-armed mutant. If this reminds me of that one game on the Genesis, what was it called? I don't know.
Oh, this thing. Yes.
Out of this, not out of this world. It was like Out of This World, though. Was it like a follow-up to that? It was called Badass Thing that I loved.
I love this silhouetting effect going on in some of the battles. That's way cool.
Yeah, this looks great.
Remind me of something. No, now it is reminding me of something now.
Yeah.
What was that game? We played the crap out of this at one point.
Out of This World. And well, there's, it also has got a little bit of stealth going on, which is like ninja. I can't think of any words.
Flashback's
the first game I was thinking of. Thank you. It is Flashback Tondragosa. Thank you.
Oh, see, Tondragosa. And also, Bombats nailed it for what I said earlier. Evergate was that punishing platformer that I was trying to think of. I knew it had like Ever or something in it.
Yeah, this seems all right.
Evergate.
This looks cool. Mm-hmm.
It looks really good.
Three-armed bounty hunter. Let's see. Some bounties are rewarded with money, others with valuable information that Aiden can use to find people who set him on the path. All while getting embroiled in a galaxy-wide conspiracy. Having three arms means you can all do all kinds of weird shit. So,
and it's going to be it's coming out on Steam to Thursday on October the 20th. I haven't found a price on this yet, but I did go to my favorite keymailer, keymailer.co, and requested that I have a game code for review for They Always Run.
Yeah, this looks really cool, dude. I'm into this style. The vibe of this thing is rad. Lots of ninja-looking... Really cool.
Ninja looking, damn, knocking stuff. The only thing I don't know about is it's got those weird chainmail areas where you can't kind of do like when you used to have to do with Mario. Which one was it when Mario would have to like climb on one side of the chainmail and have to flip over to the other side?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Chain lots of that. Fences. There's a bunch of platforming crap going on.
Yeah.
The chain links from Super Mario Brothers World or Super Mario World. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Ooh, he's just a badass. Look at him tearing these things up. And this
whatever
fiction this is just seems rad.
It does.
All right. Sign me up. This looks great. Mario 3 had them too, but Super Mario World also had those things.
Right.
So those are your up and comers. And some of that sounds really good. So I'm going to keep my eyes open. Now this. Let's get into our games this week. Before we begin, though, I'd just like to remind everybody that the Boop Show is one third of a triumvirate of shows available at the Frog Pants Network, frogpants.com/podcast, or you can go straight over there to see all three at frogpantsplays.com. And what's the point? Well, the point is you're going to get a different experience in all three. We talk about indies here. On Core, we go wide industry stuff. And on The Instance, we narrow down big topics. Last week, we talked about security and games and the whole Twitch wipeout thing that happened, the leak, the hack. Who knows what this week will be, but something for everybody with lots of great personalities and voices. Go check them out. That is frogpantsplays.com. Okay. Brian, I played a game. Hey, everybody. I like farming games. I don't know if I've mentioned that.
Do you like to farm?
I like
Farmer Johnson. You like to get your little tractor out there and plow up the fields.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. Like, not all of them. I'm not really into the big Sims. I like stuff that's kind of Animal Crossing level, you know?
Okay.
Go out, do some shit, get some more shit, have your place advance, unlock new things, that sort of thing.
And, so Farmville, more Farmville than...
Really, though.
Than,
not really. I'd say more
Animal Farming Simulator 2022.
No, yeah. I would say more Animal Crossing than Farming Simulator. That's my range. I don't think about Farmville much because they suck. I don't want to play Farmville.
What?
Yeah, they suck. They're a goat's penis.
You shut your dirty mouth,
I hate
Johnson.
I hate him. That's what I'm going to say to you. I hate him. This game is very pretty. My favorite thing about it is the art style. It's super... Chunky. No, I wouldn't say chunky. It's more like, I don't know. They use a lot of, what's that called? Cell shading.
Yeah. Some little cell shading, like a Borderlands kind of cel shading kind of stuff, right?
Except, yeah, except you don't have black outlines and everything. It's more like I'd put it closer to like Zelda Wind Waker, like that.
Oh, that's probably a good comparison.
Yeah,
there.
That's a little closer than what I would say.
That's a little
anyway, closer. There's all the gathering and the fishing and the farming and the story. And the story is you got to go to town and talk to dude, and dude tells you, hey, I need these things. And you go do his things. And it's a lot of that sort of stuff. There isn't any kind of, as far as I know, there's no dating mechanics. Like, you're not doing big relationship-y stuff.
Wait, there's no dating. Okay, I've been watching you run around for the last, or somebody run around for the last 5 minutes being followed by their Peppa the Pig.
Yeah.
Maybe some Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
Piggy. Although, no relationships there.
I got a dog in the, I don't know why there's a pig. That's weird.
There's a dog in the poke?
There's a dog that follows me around, a little corgi.
Right.
And what you're looking at here is actually pre-release footage. Those unused farm spots with the wood and the stone laying on them, they don't look like that in the final game. They actually just have some stones on top. So I can see some slight differences, the way she gets her XP, the way it falls out. This is all a little bit pre-release, but it's a complete game. It's out. I bought it because it looked like something I'd like, and the reviews were good.
But what?
I should tell you the name of the damn game. The game is called, where is it? Big Farm Story. Big Farm Story. Now, don't go worrying that this is some kind of mobile shit. It isn't. It's not like that. This is much more akin to, say, somewhere between Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing. Stardew Valley has dating crap in it, and I'm not interested in that ever. It doesn't interest me at all.
So you're telling me right now that the lady that you're playing as isn't going to hook up with Brawny, paper guy?
I play as the dude, but even then, I don't know. Maybe later in the game it starts to do some of that stuff. But so far, I haven't had to deal with it. You plant shit. You go to town. You do quests for people. You gather things. You fish. You sell those things. One of my favorite things is there's a mechanic in the game where you hit M. It comes a little bit, maybe an hour into the game, but I hit the letter M, and this llama comes and lets me do jobs for it. It's weird. There's a llama.
So you don't hit L, you hit M.
Yeah, you hit the M key, and out comes this llama. And the llama does, you know, like I said, he does like...
Does he talk like David Spade?
They call him Contracts, but no, he doesn't talk like David Spade. I love that movie, though.
I loved it.
It was really good. But it's great because I get this extra money and I'm helping level up like the market and stuff like that. It's got a weird multiplayer component where you can friend people and then visit their farms later if you want to. I don't think it's much more complicated than that. However, you never see these people unless you're in town. And then when you're in town, there's all sorts of random multiplayer people just walking around town. It's strange. Okay. And you can click on them and get their info and friend invite them if you want. But they don't really have much to do with anything other than you can visit their shit if you want.
All right.
And that's fine, I guess, if you want to
visit. But do you think it's like a placeholder for an eventual, you know, multiplayer experience?
Maybe. They do say they've got a bunch of plans to add things. I haven't looked at any kind of roadmap or anything, but I'm
because that was guessing. The big draw of Farmville, right? I mean, sure. You could make your own little farm on Facebook, no problem. You just do little click-throughs. It fulfills that click rate that you had to have. But then the exciting part was inviting somebody over. It's like, hi, look at my farm. Look what I've done.
Sure. And, you know, multiplayer being what it is, it makes sense they'd have a mode like this. But it doesn't seem like it's needed or all that important.
So I'm a little concerned. So I like the art style, except for the eyebrows. Too much eyebrow.
I like the art style until they get close to people. And for those reasons, it bugs me. The world, I think, is great. I love the little models for trees and houses and objects and the geometry and, you know, all that stuff's pretty good. The animation's okay. There's some problems there. I'll get to that in a minute. But it's just a pleasant thing. It's got nice music. I'll play a little bit here.
Here's
some audio. That's a pig or something.
Thanks, Scott.
And then here later.
What's the pig say?
This is her running around picking shit up. So it's very, you know, it's meant to be very chill, very pleasant. This is not a hard game.
It's cozy, kind of.
Yeah, just a cozy, wholesome style game.
Right.
Here's some more. Let's see. I've got... you can just hear she's watering and picking plants and stuff. It's fine. It's one of those, right? It's just that kind of thing. You're harvesting, you're planting, you're whatever. For those worried, oh, there is a day-night cycle, and at the end of it, you go to sleep, and that kind of just caps off the day. You have an energy meter. It's a lot like, what's another game that has that? Oh, like Stardew Valley. What this game feels like is they were like, what if we made a 3D, very good-looking Stardew Valley-type game, but one that's a little more approachable and not so many layers deep? Like, this isn't going to be the deepest one of these you're going to play. But all that surface stuff that makes Stardew Valley kind of approachable in the first place is all here, whether it be gathering or crafting and, you know, building your house out and adding furniture and all that kind of stuff. There's a whole cooking sub thing in this and all sorts of stuff. I've only played 3 hours.
I like this this pre Santa. He's yeah. like he's still got his he's got his beard and hair thing, but he hasn't turned gray yet.
Yep.
This guy, whoever Owen.
Yeah, Owen is a Santa in the making. He just doesn't know it yet. He's got a few years to go, but he'll be there. He'll get there. There's a fishing guy there's a guy on the wharf who teaches me how to fish and gives me fish shit to do. And he looks like Santa. He looks like Santa in a fish costume, or not a fish costume, but what do you call that? The guy, the fish logo with the guy in the yellow wind jacket thing. What's that called? He's called something.
Does he sell fish sticks at the store?
Yes. What's he called? He has a name. That guy.
Captain Gordon?
Captain something.
Gordon.
Gordon's fish sticks. Fish sticks. Is that the guy? Okay. That's
yeah,
the guy.
You're thinking of Gordon's fish sticks. He wears the rain slicker and yeah. Oh my God. That made me laugh so much. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem. Now there are gonna be people who hear me talking about this game from Good Game Studios, both published and developed by them. Came out in August. You're gonna hear me talking about this game and think, well, I already don't like farming games, so I'm not going to like this. You're not. If you already don't like this, and by farming games, I mean these, you know, think Stardew Valley as your standard. If you didn't like that, you are not going to like this. You don't like Animal Crossing, you will not like this. This game is for people who like this kind of chill loop of gameplay. And by loop, right. I mean do some shit, get some money, afford better crops, sell those crops for a bunch of money. Oh, it's night. Got to go to sleep. Okay, next morning. Ooh, a bunch of new random things to pick up around the yard that'll make me money. And like just that progression and that loop that I'm describing, you already know if this is for you or not. You know from my description.
Right. Yeah, okay? Because this game has taken the elements. It is not veering from it, right? It's going, hey, look.
Oh, yeah.
We're this game and that's it. There's nothing else here.
Yeah, they go right in. Now, I have a couple of complaints. Here are my pros. I think it's, you know, basically a really nice graphical style and look for a Stardew Valley style game. I think it looks really good, very chill, very low pressure. Get in, get out whenever you want, and save and leave and come back, you know, whatever. It's not pressuring you to do anything. And I like that.
Oh, wait to hear about my game.
Oh boy. That game. I have stuff to say about that game cuz I played it too. Those are my pros. Cons, some of the animations are kind of weird. Like when you fish, you're all, I wish I had capped this. When you fish, it's just awkward as shit. it just doesn't look right. He kind of pulls the thing out and like doesn't, I don't know. There's like somebody spent no time on the fishing animation. The actual fishing's fine, but the animation just makes it look like he's really dumb and needs help. There's that. I don't think the chopping of wood animation or the chopping of stone animation looks particularly good, which is weird because overall the game's pretty competent, especially the animals. They're animated wonderfully. Just these adorable. The corgi's adorable. You want your own. The little chicken that hatches and becomes a full chicken. Amazing. I want that chicken in my life. So, you know, they're good at that. But then, hey, chopping a piece of wood. Can't spend any time on that. So that's a weird thing. Maybe that stuff will get better. I mean, they claim they're committed to just like making this a living game with a bunch of events. There's a Halloween thing going in soon. This like in the next couple of days, I think. There's already pumpkins everywhere, and I think that's part of it. So they wanted to go further than just here's our game. Now we're on to the next one. And that, I can appreciate that. Overall, though, it's great. I like it. Yeah. It's what it is. Big farm story. I'm going to give it 8 llama deliveries out of 10.
Oh, nice. How many times you had to press the M to get that?
Not very. Well, there's a cooldown time for it. But if you're in town, you can do them immediately because the lady who has the llama is sitting right there. So you can just go do it with her. But if you're out like somewhere in the forest or whatever, and you're like, I really would like to get a llama delivery done, you can bring him up and then he's like 4 minutes in cooldown or something like that.
Now, why is it Big Farm Story? Does it start off like a lot of these animated features do, where it's like, oh, you're from the city and, yeah. And ants, whoever died, you got to hit to the
farm. Let me tell you a story then, and you tell me if you're familiar with this story. Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Your grandpa used to own a farm. And when you were young, you loved going to the farm and checking out grandpa's farm. It was great. You'd swing on the wheel or on the tire swing and you'd go fishing with him. But then grandpa sent this weird letter and it says, come check the farm out because I need your help or whatever. And you go there and find out it's all dilapidated. You can't find grandpa anywhere. He's not dead. You didn't find his corpse or something, but you can't tell what the hell's going on. And you still haven't found him. That's part of the story. And your job is to get the place in shape and get it all back to its, whatever. It's the same story they do with all of these. They all do this. Grandpa has a farm and you got to go fix it thing.
Right. Yeah.
It's so weird. But anyway.
I guess it's this. That's what the backstory is. Like, we're not working on that. Let's just make our big farm story.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of quests and story and stuff. And you can skip most of it if you're not interested in the story. So far, it's been fine. It's just all very wholesome and, just a nice little game. And I like it. So I'd give it it'd have a higher score if it didn't have those weird animations. It's just so weird. Also, at one point I ran out of money completely and I didn't know what to do for a while because it won't let you sleep early to get your overnight money that sort of accrues. Because it says, it's too early in the day to sleep, you jackass. So I didn't need to sleep.
Yeah.
It's so, not perfect in some ways, but I had a ball. Having a ball. I'm going to keep playing it. I like it.
You're going to keep playing it. Yeah. All right. Big, so just log into Facebook and play Big Farm Story.
No Facebook, nothing like that. Big Farm Story. Like if anyone out there is listening to me and they've ever played Farm Together, which is one of my favorite of these. Mm-hmm. If you like that, you'll like this.
Yeah.
There's another comparison. So Big Farm Story. I'm going to keep saying the name because at the end of the show, we have an email about saying
you're going to find out at the end of the show why we've said the title 16 times.
That's right. All right. And I promise everybody next week won't be a game where I'm picking weeds. Okay. It'll be something bigger, but something less.
You'll be growing weeds.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just be growing weeds. I don't know. Weed Simulator 2021. All right. There is actually a Marijuana Simulator 2020 something.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think I have a key for it. I just never gave
you probably do.
Gave it a shot, but it's a whole like weed empire thing.
Where,
these are all over the place. There's like mobile games that are all about growing your weed empire. I have a feeling. I have a feeling that those are just going to keep coming the more and more mainstream weed production gets. So we'll see.
It is a no-brainer because everybody's like, hey, you know what I wish I could do? Why don't they have a comic book simulator store? That's what I want to do. I don't want to be a pot grower.
Yeah.
I want to have my own comic book store.
Yeah, a comic book store. We've talked about this a little bit before. Like one of those time management kind of diner dashy kind of games where you got to like open the doors, ding, ding, we're open. And then for the next 8 hours, you got to... it's a sped up clock, but you got to just service everybody like, they need the latest copy of, and it's all fake heroes like Darkest Man or whatever dumb thing. And if you didn't buy enough, you're out. So you're not getting profit for that. And then overnight you buy all the stuff you need because you made a bunch of, that game makes itself. I just don't know how to program. If I did, I'd make it.
We'd make it right now.
We have the artists. We need the programmer. All right, Brian. Let's talk about your game. I also played and hated. So tell me about The Rift Breaker. The Rift Breaker.
I played this game and I loved it. And I knew immediately that Scott was going to hate it because I know Scott. Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think about a top-down isometric 3D view-based building survival game with action RPG elements on the edge of the Milky Way galaxy playing as an elite scientist commando named Ashley running around in a mech suit with a snarky, they call me Mr. Riggs AI on a hostile alien planet hacking and slashing the local flora and fauna.
Okay.
And anything else
everything
that gets in the
you've
way.
Said,
yeah?
Everything you've said sounds great on paper. And it's what I said back when they showed the City 3. I went, that looks like a game for me. Beautiful engine. action RPG. It's like Diablo in a mech. All of that sounds great. And then my mind completely erased any mention of base building slash tower defense.
They mentioned they really quickly did not mention anything about the tower defense. So, no. Well, too bad, because you know what? I played it. That's what I played this week. So grab the closest one-way rift portal and pack some clean underwear, because Galatea 37 is waiting for you with all list Zerg rushes, random environmental disasters, hordes of aliens just waiting to destroy everything you built. Oh, yeah. And you have to collect some resources, reinforce your base defenses, and explore a variety of biomes. Did you even get that far? With unique creatures that will push your tech research tree and weapons crafting skills to the limit.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And why is it called the Rift Breaker when you you obviously are a Rift Maker, not a Rift Breaker? Because that's the whole point, right? The whole end game is to build a Rift portal to connect back to Earth.
Yeah.
So the Rift Breaker.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, Scott.
That's because you kind of like tower defense, and I hate it.
I kind of do like tower defense. I don't like pure tower defense necessarily, but this does have an element of tower defense to it.
Hey, build a base and then defend it. That's basically it.
That's one of the things. Yeah, if you don't like being, constantly inundated with everything you build, trying to destroy it. Either the environment's going to try to destroy it, or the aliens are going to try to destroy it. But you know what? I'm kind of on the alien side this time around. Because you know why? Because we're just some arrogant humans, landing on alien planets that are full of resources, and we just come in and plunder them, and then we get all upset when the local bugs come try to destroy our stuff.
Sure.
Of course they do.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everything in this game is not a laid back game. Let's just play the sandbox mode. If you play the campaign mode or the survivor mode, you better get ready.
I could see playing the sandbox maybe more than I would the campaign. The campaign seemed, I don't know. The campaign was like, okay, go do build the thing. But we won't mention there's 1,000 bug monsters about 4 feet away from you when you try to get anything done. I don't know. It's just, I don't like building shit while the pressure's on. I don't want waves of things. Ugh.
Yeah.
Wave based anything.
There's constantly waves of things. I do like that the mech suit you have with the little AI. They're pretty good about giving you a heads up that things are coming. However, it just never stops in the campaign. It's just like, okay, you landed. There's no time to rest. You got to instantly build a base, because you know why? Because you're gonna alert some of the local aliens that are gonna come try to destroy everything. So it's like, you got to go to step A, B, and you got to do it in a fairly quick manner.
Yeah.
And there's a little timer that shows you, and it'll start counting down, and you have to get your little mech suit running around. You have to find yourself a location. Of course, since you're base building, you can use the natural formations around you, add some fencing in there, kind of block everybody out, put some turrets up.
Yeah.
But you got to manage all the power stuff too, which I wasn't sure if I liked that part of the game. I don't mind base building and putting my stuff up, but when I don't mind collecting resources either, but there's a whole system in this game that requires you to put like an infrastructure almost of power. You have to connect everything with circuits. Yeah,
You got to have a whole power grid, basically.
You got to have a grid. Yeah. Exactly. Got to have a grid. And that in itself, probably not that bad.
Yeah.
But when you're placing items, it'll usually stop you if there's an environmental, like if you need to place a headquarters or an armory or something so you can work on your tech tree or build up the area. If you go to place something environmentally, it'll tell you can't put that here. This is red. It doesn't turn green when you mouse over top of it.
All right.
But then, but you can place it on top of some of your little connecting points for your electrical grid.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't tell you. And I've done it so many times. I'll go click and I'll do it. And then I'll run away while it builds, because it takes a few seconds for it to, like some kind of futuristic electricity 3D printer.
Yeah.
And I'll come back and I'm like, why is everything off? Why is everything off?
Yeah.
And then I realize, oh, I placed that object on top of my power node, and it killed everything around it. I'm like, oh, come on, man. I don't need that level of difficulty. I'm over here trying to fight aliens. I don't need that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take that back.
Yeah. See, what you've described sucks. I shouldn't say that. It sucks for me. Like, everything about my farm thing is, there are some people that feel just as strongly about that as I do about tower defense and wave-based like Horde mode. It's just not my thing at all. So, you know, ask, hey, someone could say, Scott, do you like Factorio? Absolutely. I love it. What's the first thing I do when I go into that game? Turn off alien attacks, because I hate them, because they're the worst. They just bug you while you're trying to make your damn factory. The other thing is, what's the other one? Factory Satisfactory. I love that. Satisfactory is awesome. It's like 3D Factorio, basically. Hey, Scott, what's the first thing you do? Put my thing as far away from alien shit as possible. Like, I just don't want it.
Right.
I don't want it, man.
Yeah, because I'm with you. I'm with you. It's like I do, and you probably like the sandbox mode because, you know, it gives you all the time in the world to do all that kind of stuff, and you get, you know, a lot more resources and everything. But once again, I'm a campaign guy. I love to play a good campaign. I feel like a game is not complete until you have a campaign, in my opinion. When you have somebody who has completely thought out how every piece of the game mechanics finally meld together, that's a campaign to me.
Well, like, I agree with you, but what I don't want, okay, here's what I wanted this game to be, and you tell me how close it is to that.
Okay.
I wanted a full story campaign, and I wanted me to be lone dude in a mech suit killing shit and getting better gear as I went and leveling up and having a RPG act. I wanted Diablo with a mech. That's what I wanted.
Right.
That is not what this game is, right? Not at all.
No, you're not going to get that here, I don't think.
Boo.
You get to play as Ashley, and she's really, her only real thing to do is to land on this planet because they've opened a rift from Earth. This is far out in the Milky Way galaxy, and you need 2 points. You need 2 points for this big rift. You make a lot of small rifts, but this big portal rift, you need to hook it back up to Earth. So you'll have a two-way trip so you can have other people come in, and you never get that far. You're just trying to get to that point. And you also have smaller rifts you can do from base to base so you can zip around places, which I think really improves things. I think once you get to that point, I think the game becomes a lot more fun.
Okay.
When you can start rifting back and forth to different areas.
I was so excited. But yeah,
you're not going to get a really deep story here.
When they first announced this game, I was so excited. I was like,
yeah, oh, it looks amazing.
Look at this. And they really beefed up in the trailers and stuff early on. It was all about combat, movement, and RPG stuff. That's what they showed. And they didn't show any of this base bullshit that they're all into. And I get somebody out there is loving this, and it's you. It's you and people like
you. There's a lot of things here too. So like what you're describing, yeah, you're not going to get. But if you like base building, and I've seen some people make some really fantastic bases. They even have, you can even modify the base floors and reinforce them, even though it doesn't really do anything other than aesthetics. And you can just make these really fantastic laid out bases that look great and are efficient. And I'm down for all that. And also, I like the fact that the aliens you're fighting, they're fairly varied. There's a pretty good bit of variance in them.
Yeah.
And you'll get a chance to upgrade a pretty big tech tree for this game. The game's like $30 unless you get it on the Xbox Game Pass. If you already got the service, you can download it now. I played this on the PC as well as the Xbox. I played it the first time using the controller on the Xbox Series S.
Yeah.
There's way too much going on here for me. I am not an expert controller person.
It feels a game that's just better suited for a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, this for me, hitting shortcuts on keyboards and mice, that was more my jam. I'm not saying you can't do it with a controller. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who are very experts with those. Not me. Not me, man.
Yeah, I had the same experience with it. I just thought some of it's just not very intuitive is all. It's not that it couldn't be done. I just don't think the controller mapping was all that great. No. I won't ding him for
like
that.
Like I said, there's only so many buttons on a controller. So, I mean, there's some pretty deep stuff that you have to dig through sometimes to get to upgrade stuff. Meh, what you gonna do?
Yeah.
Developer Exor Studios brought us this, The Riftbreaker, now on the Xbox Game Pass.
Here's some sound. You want to hear some sound? Let's play it.
If you got some sound, I would love to do that, and then I'll give you my thoughts the final reviews.
They connect all buildings within their area of operation, even if power lines are not visible.
Yeah, that's your AI.
That's the
robot.
Mech suit. Yeah, that's the mech suit.
Nice sound effects. It's got some nice music.
I like the sound effects, man. It really brings you into it.
Cool VO. Like, it's got all the pizzas, pieces and parts that
it's
I like.
All the pizzas.
It's got all the pizzas that I like in this sort of thing. It's just, I don't want to play tower defense. I just can't. I can't do it.
Right. It is very tower defense. I think if they were to remove that or give you the option in the May, I didn't dig that. Okay. So we talked about this before on the game. On the show,
yeah,
I try to spend at least 6 hours on each of the games I play, which is usually plenty enough for most of the games. Most of the games are usually 10 hours tops.
Yeah.
And I'll get through some of them. But this game is a lot larger than that. You know, to really dig deep into the tech tree and get really deep into, you know, the different biomes, it's going to take a lot more than 6 hours.
I imagine. It looks like it's got a pretty strong sort of ultimate end game where you're just so powerful and your fortress is so impenetrable that you could just watch it blow shit up and earn whatever you're earning, whatever
that's,
currency.
That's one of the most satisfactory things in this game is when you get those Zerg rushes. I mean, they are huge. You'll just get massive amounts. It actually runs pretty good considering how much is going on screen with the alien attacks and just explosions.
Wraith 86 asks, does it support keyboard and mouse on the Xbox? Yes, it does. According to the info about the game. Yeah. So
it does. And I actually tested a little bit and I have a Logitech keyboard, trackpad mouse thing.
Wireless.
That I hook up to my little Xbox.
Oh, look at that. Look at you, fancy man.
It's trackpad with the mouse isn't that great, but, I should have put a regular mouse to it. So yeah, I did test and it did fine. But I was just like, bump that. Let's bring it into the PC world and let's get it going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I'm glad you liked it. I'm seriously glad.
Right. Let me give you some of my pros.
Yeah.
They put the action in action RPG. They heavily went into that. Looks good. Plays good.
Yeah.
If you like this type of game, like Scott was saying earlier with the farming simulator, if you like this type of game, there's a lot of it. It is heavy. It is heavily sauced in this action RPG tower defense kind of hack and slash thing.
Yeah. I wish the hack and slash RPG part was bigger, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Cons is a tedious repair process. I did not care for the repair process. There is a way whenever you get hit or environmental damage to your buildings or your gates, fences, you have to go by and you can go into a repair mode, but you still have to click each one of them. You have to go click this one, this one, this one, this one, which is a big deal because when you build fences, they're like, you know, they're like one grid wide and you may like go like 30 grids. So it's just too, I'm like, I don't need that.
Yeah. It's
just
a lot.
And then later on in later game, I understand that there's a drone or something that'll go out and repair stuff, but I want that now. Yeah. I want that from the start.
Yeah.
And too often, like I mentioned earlier, I was knocking out power to areas because I'd place something for a power nodule. And I'm like, I don't need that hassle, man.
Yeah.
But despite those few little cons that this gave you, I'm going to give this game, like I said, which is on, it came out the 14th this past week. I had a lot of fun with it. I'm going to give it 8 squished alien bugs out of 10 alien life form eradications. Humans. Am I right?
Yeah.
We're the worst.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Rift Breaker.
The Rift. It's a the. There's a the in there, right? Yeah.
There's a the, and a Rift Breaker is one word.
Yeah. It's a cool name. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It doesn't make sense, but absolutely.
Okay. One quick note. I think this is funny. Weed Farmer Simulator, which is on Steam.
Back to the weed.
It is currently, it's got mostly positive reviews, but every one of them says, yeah, it seems to be taking too long, though. Or, man, they haven't had an update in forever. Like, the biggest complaint is that it's being very slowly made. And I have to think, whoever's making this is just, he's also doing weed. So he's off.
We're getting to it.
Yeah, he's just not in a hurry, man.
You should be fine with that. I mean, and if you are into it, maybe you're doing the same thing. It's like, it's all right.
Yeah. I think that's funny. But anyway. All right. So that's hilarious. The Rift Breaker. My game was Big Farm Story. We'll remind you at the end of the show one more time about what games we played. The Rift Breaker and Big Farm Story. All right. All right.
All right. All right. So
now you'll all understand why we're being picky about this when we read an email. All right. We'll get there. Now this.
It's a meme. Hey!
Time to play Guess My Game. It's where we play audio from an old game and then we try to guess what it is. It's just a kind of fun little thing we do. I didn't put my hint here, but my year is 2002.
All right.
And I played the hell out of this. That's all you need to know. PC, I'll say.
That's all I need to know.
It's been everywhere else since, but PC is where this thing really got its thing going. Someone in the chat's totally going to get this. But let's give it a shot here. So here we go. My game. I should mention it's going to start with some intro stuff, and then it will be gameplay after that. All right.
So okay, that's good. Mine does the same thing.
Oh, good. Well, look at us synchronizing our periods or whatever people do. All right, here you go. Enjoy.
Very military.
Yeah, very military. That's good to know. Because 2002.
If you have a problem, call the 18.
Yeah, if you can find them, if you can call the 18. All right, here comes just some gameplay. Some distance shooting. Guys just running. And then now.
2002?
Some action.
I can't decide if this sounds more.
Yeah. You want another hint?
I'm trying to remember when Battlefield came out.
Oh. Oh.
Like some of the earlier ones.
Oh. I wonder if you're onto something there.
Am I getting close?
I think you're.
Was it 1942? Is that the one?
You are so close that you're right. It's Battlefield 1942. Nicely done.
Yes. Well done. Of the hell out of that game.
Oh, yeah, man. My eyes bled after a while. I was playing it so much. I played it so much.
That gun was a dead giveaway. I don't remember the dramatic music. I must have skipped through that part most of the time. But
yeah, you were just like me. You're probably playing LAN games with your friends, and you're just like, we don't want to watch the intro. Yeah. Just get to the game. Go. Here's the one thing that is interesting about that game. If you go back and look at it now, fugly, dude. That game looks bad.
I haven't looked at it in forever. Let's take a look.
Yeah, it's I have some here. Let's see. Here's the full game. It just is really barren and just not. I mean, whatever. It's 2002. It was what it was. This is where we were graphically. And it was impressive at the time, but it's just flat and empty, and this desert map they're on is not helping it by being a desert.
God, I don't remember it being this ugly.
Yeah, let me get some stuff. Here you go. See, this is just low res hills and just shitty looking. It's just the time.
Some of the soldiers, they all, it was like they took a bunch of green army men and they're all like the same.
Kind
of,
yeah. But again, 2002, you know, like.
God, I love this game so
much. You look at the newest Battlefield that's coming out this year and, you couldn't be on a more different planet than that.
Yeah,
it's just the fidelity is crazy in those games now. But yeah, back in 02, not so much.
How's the gameplay? I wonder if it's still fun or not.
I have to think so. Right. Yeah. I mean, people still love Battlefield, so I think the gameplay holds up great because they keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to play that new one. I don't care about Call of Duty anymore. I think I want to get this year's the shooter I get into this year might be Battlefield.
Doing it.
Future thing, whatever it's called. Battlefield 2458 or whatever it is.
Is it? Oh, yeah. It's 2042. Is it?
Is it 2042?
No, 2042 already. Is that 2020?
It's a future one. I know that.
2042 already came out.
2042 it is, says Sidian. Okay.
All right.
2525. No. Monkey bananas. 25. Don't be giving us no fake numbers, man. Anyway.
The year was 2525.
Brian, here's your clip. Any setup for this? Any?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no way you're going to get this. No, I'm just kidding. The year is 1992, and mine's a lot harder. I feel bad now because I feel like yours is. Maybe just
a little easy. Yeah. Well, depending if you played it a lot or not, because it could have been any number of military shooters. You could have said Medal of Honor. You could have said a lot of things. So,
right. This was a little more obscure. I remember seeing it, but I don't think I ever actually played it. But I was always interested. But let's just put it this way. That's a hint, 1992. And I was recently reminded of this game. How's that? Something's going on right now that reminded me of this game.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. I like it. Okay. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Now.
What the hell was that?
Now.
Now.
They said the game name like 20 times before. That's why I cut all that out.
Oh. Did that lady say?
Radar activated.
Radar activated. Wow.
Construction complete. Atreides unit deployed.
Reporting. Acknowledge. Reporting.
Oh.
Acknowledge. Reporting. Affirmative. Reporting.
Construction destroyed.
This is the world's first RTS.
Yes, sir. Infantry.
I had it on the Genesis. And it was on PC, and it was, because Dune is coming out. Dune.
Yes, but
it is Dune.
Not Dune.
It's
Keep
not?
Going.
It's not Dune?
But it is the Dune series, but this particular is pulled from a different one.
Wait a minute.
There was a Dune 2.
Oh, Dune 2 is the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dune, right. It's the game. I Close forgot up. That was the actual title of it. But yeah, the Dune, Dune RTS thing. It was like
Good job.
Known as like the very first, you know, beat everybody to the punch, including, I guess it was the same guys who ended up making Command & Conquer, I think. Part of Westwood Studios, I think.
It was Westwood Studios.
Okay, that was them then. So they were first to the punch. It was like Blizzard who came mm-hmm. later with Warcraft and that.
And they said House Atreides. I was so I think I might have talked over it too, so I apologize.
Oh, that's why I didn't hear it. But yeah, now it makes sense that she's so hey, hello, blah, blah.
Yes, exactly. It's like,
very Dune-y, you know, like very mysterious and alien.
So stoked for the new Dune movie.
Yeah, it reminded me of Shatner here. Listen to this.
Oh Jesus! No description can equal this weightlessness. Oh my God.
For context, we're in the year 2021 and Shatner has just went to space for a brief moment.
Yep. 90,
very excited.
90 year oldest man in space ever.
Yes.
And also he was way into it to the point
he really loved it.
About him.
He really loved it.
Yeah. He's really into it. Okay. Well, there you go. We both got it. Look at us. We did it.
Look at that.
Yeah. Let's play a ding for us. There we go. We win. Now this. Time for some emails. Well, one. We're not doing many. We're doing one. And we got one here from... who is this?
Nick.
Nick says, hello, Scott and Brian. He sent this to boopshow@gmail.com. Hey, Scott and Brian, I have been a Frog Pants listener for ages, dating all the way back to the early days of the instance. I love what you do. Please never stop. But I have a real small request for the Boop Show. Whenever you are done talking about a game... you are about to switch topics. Please just mention the name of the game one last time. Here's why. I listen to podcasts in small chunks whenever I have time. So I might take a break from listening directly in the middle of a game review and then start listening again the next day. By then, I've forgotten the name of the game you were talking about, and I guess I'm too lazy to rewind. So saying it just one final time before switching topics would be great. I would guess I'm not the only person that is in this boat, but who knows? Anyway, thanks again, and keep up the good work, Nick. I agree, Nick. We should do it more often.
Yes.
And so we're gonna. And a reminder that today we played, Brian played the Riftbreaker. I played Big Farm Story. And here's the other cool thing about this. It all gets put in the show notes. So here's what you can do if you're in a pinch. Okay. Anybody out there who's like, well, I still don't remember it after the 12 times you said it. Grab your phone, look at your podcast player of choice. And hit the little note button wherever that may be. Sometimes it's just right there. Depends on the player. It will tell you what games we talked about right there. Mm-hmm. So we try, and it's on the show notes on the store or on the site, all that stuff. We try to make sure it's everywhere. But yes, I agree. We should say it more often.
Okay. Yes, we've gotten better about it. There was a point in time where we would just mention it at the top. And it's like, whatever. Good luck.
And then we just let it go. And I think this is a problem for a lot of game shows that where they talk about multiple games. I think it's impossible to get it right every time. But we're going to do better. So... one more time.
Doing better.
Big Farm Story and the Riftbreaker. Okay?
Yes. And we talked about it before then. We talked about Lumion.
Yeah, we did talk
into
about
the
that.
Pit,
yeah.
And they always run.
Yeah. And
good
those
luck.
Will those all be in the notes, too, so that you don't have to remember what Brian just said. Keep those emails coming, and thank you for that one. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's it. We're done with the show. But before we go, a reminder that our website is at frogpants.com/BOOP. You are welcome to go there anytime, hang out there, do whatever you got to do. You'll find old episodes of the show. You'll find links to our Reddit page, which is at boopshow.reddit.com. May as well just go there. And give us a Twitch follow. Brian's at Brian Dunaway. I'm at Frog Pants. I don't know why I hesitated. Frog Pants. That's just there.
Frog Pants.
And the show is at Boop Show on Twitter. I think that's it. Brian, anything else you want to add, say, mention?
Absolutely. Be sure to watch the Boop Show homework with me throughout the week. Whenever I'm playing a game, I always do it on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Ooh, yeah.
And then, yeah. That's right before the core show. You've heard about that.
Yeah.
And I'll also do it on Saturday at 2 p.m., which I think is right before There Will Be Dungeons.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. Sorry, someone in the chat just asked if I have checked out the latest Shipbreaker updates. I have. I played a bunch of it. I think I'm going to wait to see. Before I do a full run through, I want to wait to see if they do one more reset or not, because I don't want to go through another reset. I hate that. But I love that game, so it's like hard for me not to be in there all the time. But if they do one more reset, I'll wait for that, and then I'm in. Because it sounds like they're getting really close. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next time with more Boop Show. Have fun and play games. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Destroy them with lasers.
Whoa.
I don't like steam. I love steam.